we continue in worship this day, we will continue with the reading of Scripture and the proclaiming of the gospel. And so I would invite you to pray with me a prayer of illumination. Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this day, for a time that we might gather and worship, to sing praises, to hear praises sung, and Lord, to hear and reflect on the word. A word that's been passed down to us that might encourage us and influence our lives to be a disciple, one who seeks after your love and compassion and peace. And so, God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed, that you would open our ears and our hearts to hear what you would have to say. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So our scripture reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. I'll be reading in the 10th chapter, so it's a little bit after where we read last week. I'll be reading verses 35 through 45. It says, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said, this is Jesus, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So last week we talked about this man, this wealthy man who came to Jesus and he asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, you know the commandments. And he's like, "Whoo, I have been doing those all my life." And so then Jesus says, "Well, then one more thing, sell everything you have and give it the money to the poor." And we saw this man turn and walk away sadly. We don't know if he was sad because he had all these possessions and he had this relationship with his possessions and he was sad that he was going to have to sell them, or if he was sad because he couldn't come to sell his possessions. But he walked away sadly. Earlier in this gospel, we also read and we saw how James and John, the sons of Zebedee, had gladly set down their nets and given up everything to follow Jesus. They were some of the first disciples of Jesus. And here we are just a few chapters later in this Gospel of Mark, and we see the misguided James and John trying to trick Jesus into granting their request before they even make it, almost like we've seen probably our children do this type of thing. And they go and, "Will you just get me whatever I ask?" And you don't know what it could be, and they try to kind of trick you in, and you don't know if it's going to be small or big or what it might be. Or maybe if you were a teacher, you might have experienced this with some of your students. Well, Jesus politely answers, what do you want me to do for you? And they responded, "Grant us to sit, one at your right and one," and this is my right, "one at your right and one at your left in your glory." You know, this request by James and John comes after three times of Jesus predicting his passion, in which he predicts that the Son of Man's rejection and vindication, and three times Jesus has told his disciples and foretold his arrest by Israel's religious hierarchy and his capital condemnations, his handover to the Gentiles, that they would eventually kill him. It's one reason why this request of these disciples coming to Jesus and asking to sit at one at his left and one at his right shows that they really didn't grasp and comprehend the teachings of Jesus. Perhaps Jesus must repeat himself over and over again so many times because that's not what they expect of a Messiah. And they find it utterly incomprehensible that the way of the Messiah would also be the way of the cross. It just didn't make sense. Maybe they've also lost their focus. And how somehow they've come to believe that following Jesus indicated or included ascending to positions of power and influence. They've so badly misunderstood his teachings. You know, jockeying for power and position has characterized the behavior of disciples of Jesus then and now. We actually see some kind of variation of this request of power and position in all of the different gospels involving different people. The gospel writers write it in different ways to include sometimes all the disciples, sometimes just James and John. The request is oblivious of the status reversal in God's kingdom of which Jesus has spoken, which often included humility and forgiveness, and even having faith as a child, the faith of a child. You know, it was a pretty ambitious request that James and John had. And I want you to hear that ambition is good. Ambition is the engine that drives some of our most noble accomplishments and helps us keep focused on the future. Ambition is it helps us explain why we've achieved so many of our most important goals in life. However, ambition can sometimes be bad and can lead to some people's ruin. We have to be careful of our motives of our ambition. Even within scriptures, we see ambition used in different times throughout the scriptures, and there's two different words that are used for talking about ambition. The first one is philotomeomai. It's used, a word used to talk about ambition. In 2 Corinthians, it says, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our philotomeomai, our ambition to please him. Or in Romans 15, it says, I make it my philotomeomai, or my ambition to proclaim the good news. These are a couple times in which this word philotomeomai, or ambition, is used in a positive way, a good way. But also in the scriptures, we see this word eurytheia. And it's often translated also as ambition, but this more idea of selfish ambition. And it's used to criticize ambitiousness and in which persons act out improper self-interest in advancing themselves at the expense of others and causing disharmony and division. We see this word used in Philippians 1:17, in which it says that the former preached Christ out of eurytheia, or selfish ambition, not sincerely, supporting that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. You know, that's the Apostle Paul talking there. You know, we might not make outlandish requests as we saw these disciples of James and John, you know, coming to Jesus and asking to sit at his right and his left. But in our hearts, sometimes we covet the best of the lot, the top spot, the place of recognition. It's part of our human condition. And we can sometimes attempt to explain our greed for this in a number of ways. You know, power and position, because it's part of our human condition, needs to be something that we focus on because it's so much against our natural inclinations. If we're not careful, we allow our personal desires and ambitions get in the way of what God desires. And we can confuse the two. And then we come up with maybe excuses or verifying our actions or kind of giving reason by saying, well, it's God's will. I think we have to look inward. We have to look deep into our hearts and seek our motivation behind our ambitions. Because so much of our ambition can sometimes lead by just strictly outward comparison to others. Not on purpose, but it sometimes happens. You know, if we're to follow Jesus and exercise our perfectly human ambitiousness that's in within each one of us, that, I mean, I don't know about you, but I was struggling getting out of bed this morning. Kind of the coolness, and I was warm and cozy. If we're to exercise our perfectly human ambitiousness, then we got to be ambitious for the things that Jesus cares about, and not what the American way tells us to care about. Because ambition's connected to pride, and it's a breeding ground for envy and resentment and selfishness. We see that new car sitting in the neighbor's driveway, and we just think to ourselves, like, man, if I could just work a little harder, or if something could just fall in my down my way a little bit sometimes, then I'll be able to get one of those. We compare our children to other people's children, and we say, man, why can't my kids be like that? If I just worked a little harder, if they just worked a little harder, and we put this pressure that's not fair for anyone. Or even within churches, we see churches and we compete for members and in order to become the biggest and the best, rather than responding to Jesus' call of servanthood for the things that really matter, like defeating poverty and oppression and injustice. You know, there's a thing that is very popular. It's motivational speakers that stir up within audiences and encourage the expectation of greater diligence and single-minded determination. Name it and claim it for yourself. Decide what it is that you just must have and in your life to be worthwhile, and then go for it. But you see, very rarely do motivational speakers ask the audience to compare themselves to the ambitions of Jesus. What if instead of promoting ambition that's concerned about strictly ourselves, we were instead about the whole and hoping to make a difference in the world? What if we are continually ambitious for growing in generosity and thoughtfulness and faithfulness and honesty and compassion? What if we were continually ambitious in seeking after ways in which we use our resources to solve problems and to speak up for the voiceless? Those are the things I think Jesus was ambitious about. I also have to wonder if the request made by James and John was based out of fear. Because sometimes fear makes us be ambitious for things that kind of outside our box. Being afraid, we can sometimes try to provide security for ourselves. We're driven out of fear rather than seeking the grace of Jesus Christ, knowing that he's with us each and every step of the way. I think the trick is here is to pray for grace that's constantly with us. Submit our ambitions to the reformation of Christ rather than the fear of scarcity, of not being good enough or having enough. Jesus was the model of wholeness and completeness. And when we refocus our lives, we can overcome the insecurities that drive us to greed and coveting. This is what Jesus himself did in the example that he showed. There's a promise within this scripture. The cup that I drink, you will drink. The baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. And sometimes these words can create fear within us, because we too will also experience persecution and hardship. But the greater promise is that you will not always be driven by your fears and your need for security. For I will be with you always, Jesus says. We don't need to live always in fear, and we don't have to continually seek our own security with every ambition that we have. Because the promise of Christ is that he's with us. And sometimes we get that reminder through Holy Communion, through taking the bread and the cup. And sometimes we get that reminder by giving our life for Christ or knowing that Christ is with us through the sacrament of baptism and that we're a child of his. Sometimes we get those reminders through ways that I can't comprehend and maybe you can't even comprehend, but they're a reminder for you. And so may our ambitions seek to represent life in which Christ is glorified through you and through me. May we keep that at the front of everything that we say and that we do. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for your word. Lord, sometimes we can get so focused on things of this world and desires of this world that we forget of the ambition in which you set within us. This grace that's already at work within us before we even know it, and that drives us to be a people of love and compassion. So Lord, may we focus and refocus our life on you. May we remember the goodness that you have and desire for each one of us, in which you are always with us. Lord, may we live lives in which we seek to serve more than we might desire to be served. Lord, we love you and we thank you. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.